20 years have been doing this damn thing, Freak Nation, and Kevin Harvick's been a part of those 20 years here in the Freak Nation. And one of the amazing things that I find in the 20 years that we've been doing this, Kevin Harvick, is when people find out that I have two cats, they say, look, dude, you don't seem like you're a cat person. Kevin Harvick, you have yourself another cat. You don't seem like you're a cat person.
Yeah. You know what? I came home and they've had that cat. I went to Las Vegas. They got the cat on Friday. Well, I talk to my wife and kids every day. And so we go through Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I come home, wake up Monday morning to take Keelan to school. And I'm sitting on the couch with him about 7 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, he starts smiling. He looks at me and he's just like me. He can't keep a secret. He looks at me. He's like, I got to show you something. And Dwayne is not around. So we walk in and I walk into the cat's little area. And I'm like, oh, we got another cat. And he looks at me and he smiles and he picks it up. I'm like, wow, this cat's way nicer than the last cat. Because the last cat, when we went to the shelter to pick it out, we walked in and I'm like, oh, I like this cat. And Delana looks at it and she's like, I don't like that cat. So I put that cat in the cage and I just stand back and I'm like, okay, I'll just be quiet. Let the kids pick out the cat. And Delana, we pick out the first cat. The cat comes over. I said, this is the one I like. I walk over, go to pet the cat. The cat bites me. So I'm like, I don't like the cat. So at least this cat, you know, would lay in my lap, and the first one, he bit me, but I pretty much lost control, so you know how that goes.
Yeah. When does it happen, Kevin? Kevin Harvick joining us here in the Freak Nation.
I don't know.
I
don't know when that happens, but I think I fought it for the first probably 8 or 10 years, and then it's like, you know what, this is just, I've got to learn to pick and choose my battles. And then the kids came, and now it's like, I'm fourth in line around here, and it's just like, you do what you're told, and that's it. You just move on.
You're in full control, though, Kevin Harvick, of this amazing bounty that you have placed in the NASCAR Truck Series. I cannot love this anymore, because if I've read things correctly, how they've evolved over the last couple of days, it's a win-win situation whether or not somebody beats Kyle Busch or not. Can you explain?
Yeah, so honestly, this started because my blood pressure went sky high when Kyle Larson tweeted the three cherries and indicating that Kyle Busch was cherry picking. And I'm like, that's not really how it works. But, you know, because Kyle's actually out there running a business. He's driving the trucks, so he has sponsors and making sure that the trucks are where they are. So I'm like, well, let's just throw some money out there, because that usually motivates all these guys that have a nice reaction on Twitter. Because they're sitting on their couch not doing anything. I said, well, let's just throw some money out there to see if we could motivate some of these guys to go out there and beat Kyle. And so it's definitely turned into a lot more than I thought it was going to. But like you say, in the end, it's created a lot of great conversation for the Truck Series, which I love, because the Truck Series is, a place that gave me a great start to my career. We had trucks for a number of years with KHI that Dwayne and I had and ran and won a lot of races and championships with. So I feel like I'm somewhat connected to Kyle Busch because of the fact that I'm on his side. I love the fact that he's out there trying to run a business. He's in those trucks for a reason, and that's trying to make sure that things are running well. He's running a business. So for me, the cherry picking comment from Kyle Larson kind of struck a nerve, and now it's turned into what it's turned into for, I guess it's $100,000 now between myself and Marcus Lemonis, for one of those cup guys to get out of their motorhome and go out there and figure out how to beat Kyle Busch in a truck. It's great for us to watch. It's great for us to watch people compete. It's great for the Truck Series. And, you know, in the end, if nobody beats Kyle Busch, then we'll give the money to the his foundation and the bundle of joy there. So it's turned out to be a lot of fun. And in the end, that's really what it's all about. It's not being mad or not liking anybody or anything like that. It's really just about, you know, having fun and everybody's, you know, asking, well, you're just giving away $50,000. You know what? I'm in a fortunate position. This sport's has been great to me, and if it costs me $50,000, okay.
Kevin Harvick is in the Speed Freaks pits, but do you miss just sitting in the truck and racing?
I miss, you know, for a number of years, beating Kyle Busch was really what motivated us, and Chevy wanted to beat Toyota. I wanted to beat Kyle. And that's really why we ran our trucks. You know, it's not a great business model, to be honest with you. You have to love racing in order to compete in the truck series. And you know, I think when you look at the ownership model in the truck series, it's not really a winning model. And when you want to run it, you know, the way that Kyle does or myself would expect to run it, and you have that cup mentality, it becomes even more expensive because you expect the vehicles to look a certain way. But I always enjoyed racing trucks, and you know, I think it's you know, it's a series that has given a number of guys a great opportunity. And when you look at Phoenix, you know, it's you know, Phoenix was always kind of like our biggest race of the year when we were running the Southwest Tour cars or the Winston West series or the truck series. It was always a place that a West Coast racer could go to the truck series and go to Phoenix and go to a racetrack and compete against guys like Kyle Busch or whoever, Ron Hornaday, or whoever the truck series standouts were at that particular time. And you had kind of a reality check of where you stood from, you know, how your vehicles ran or how you were as a driver. And so it's just a very versatile series because it's just competitive enough to where you can have cup drivers go race it, or you can have the guys come from the late model series and come up to their tracks in their area and compete and try to figure it out. So, you know, for me, we built our first truck in our garage at home. That's where it started. So you can still kind of do that today. It's not so much like that, but with the crate motors and things, you know, it's definitely, you know, kind of taken a little bit of a step back towards that. So I love everything about the truck series and always have.
Kevin Harvick is in the Speed Freaks pit. Stuart Haas Racing, 2014 Cup Series champion, always a contender. Kevin, why do we get the feeling that Eddie Gossage is going to make some deal to put you and Kyle Busch in a truck to race at Texas Motor Speedway coming up in a couple weeks?
There's no chance that I'm running the truck. I'm not getting it. I'm in the middle of this from a way different perspective now. So, you know, the chance of me driving it is zero. But I will tell you, from a promoter standpoint, this should be a very good lesson to all the promoters that run these racetracks out there, because a lot of them complain about Kyle Busch being in their races. And with the right promotion and the right thought process and the right things done to promote your race, this is a prime example of the things that you can do in order to use things as a positive and generate some excitement and creativity around your event.
Kevin, the Freaks are almost 20 years old. We go back to before the Truck Series, but then the Truck Series had names like Bodine, Chaffin, Skinner, Hornaday, Sprague. Those are major names in NASCAR racing. We don't see those names now.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, we've kind of cut down on, you know, I mean, a lot of people call it the Kyle Busch rule, but, you know, we've cut down on, you know, letting the cup drivers come into the Xfinity and come into the truck series. You can only run a limited amount of races. And last weekend, you know, when you look at the, you know, the rookie class and their performance at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, I think that's a prime example. Those guys are all going to be really good race car drivers. But the step from Xfinity to the cup series now is much different than what it was when you had all those names in the Xfinity series and in the truck series to really give you a gauge of what you were getting into when you went to the cup series, knowing where you stood from a competition standpoint and from a competitive standpoint as to what you needed to be able to do in order to compete at a high level. You know, and I think, you know, those guys came in with a lot of hype and they should, you know, they had a lot of results. But my point in this, and when you look back at Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney and a lot of these guys, William Byron, that have come from the Xfinity Series to the Cup Series, it's a much bigger step now, and it takes a few years for these guys to get their feet on the ground and really get to the point, you know, where they should have, you know, where they would have been, you know, 15, 20 years ago in the Xfinity Series, because you had all those Cup regulars in the series. Now it takes a few years for them to get acclimated and get to that top level of where they need to be, like we've seen out of Ryan Blaney and Chase Elliott over the last year. So it just takes more time, and I think a lot of the reason is that. And you know, I think when you look back And you look back at, let's just use Dale Earnhardt Sr. for an example. You know, a lot of what he did, he ran the Busch Series to build his own team and build his own cars. But he was using his profits and some of the, you know, fortunate position that he was in from the Cup Series in order to build that team in the Busch Series. Well, ultimately, that team went to Cup and wound up with whatever they had, you know, two or three Cup teams in the end, a huge facility, and that was how they... bred those owners in order to get to the Cup Series. But they were Cup drivers that took that money and invested it into the Truck Series, invested it into the Busch Series at the time, and were able to build those teams into what they turned into Cup teams. And now the rules are actually so that, you know, a guy like me could never, when we had KHI, that was one of the biggest reasons that we closed it, because there was no path to Cup. Because of the fact that I drove for Richard Childress Racing and he had four Cup cars, and so we couldn't have a technical alliance with a driver that was on a team that has four Cup cars. So so there's definitely something that needs to be talked about in that whole model of how you can build things in order to groom owners to come to the Cup Series.
That's a great perspective, because being a father, you've got to look to the future for your children, and being the father of NASCAR, you got to look to the future on how to continue to build it.
That's right. And you know, it's an honest conversation that you have to have right now. I mean, when you look at Jack Roush and Roger Penske and Richard Childress, and you know, these guys are all, they're all getting older, and you know, what does that next generation look like? We worry so much about, you know, what that next generation of drivers look like, or, you know, pushing this young guy or that young guy or whatever the case may be. There has to be a path to that ownership level. And you know, I think that's the, you know, from NASCAR standpoint, that one of those first steps that we're taking is with our next generation car that we're going to have, and trying to create a better business model and an easier model of car that you can go out. You don't have to have a chassis shop. You can go out and buy a chassis. You don't have to have 20 body hangers. You can go out and purchase the body. So NASCAR is definitely taking some steps to make that process better, to attract new owners, you know, from that model.
This is greatness. Freak Nation, Kevin Harvick, Stuart Haas Racing, joining us here in the Freak Nation. Looking forward to Phoenix. Dude, as always, man, thanks for doing this, man.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We'll see, I guess, a week now.
Yeah.
Won't be long.
Right.
Enjoy the cat in the meantime.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, who cleans the pooper, by the way?
That's Keelan. That's part of his chore list, so he's on poop patrol.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Statman, you remember NASCAR truck teams like Red Horse Racing and...
David Starr.
NIMCO Racing. Remember those?
Yeah, there was a couple other ones, too, that were... They were out there and just hustling. And I was just listening to what he had to say. That was some awesome perspective, that stuff,
yeah,
I never thought of before.